It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. My handsome grandson, Ethan. I almost said Angel. That's not Angel. That's Ethan over there running the iPad. Our guest this morning is Pastor Kevin Akins. How are you doing this morning, sir?
Oh, my goodness. Like a whirlwind. Here we go.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it by email to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, and you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and I'll get all that posted shortly after the program is ended today. Our sponsor for this morning is Barbara Dyson Ford Lincoln, located here in Elk City, Oklahoma. If you're in the market for a new or used vehicle, I want to encourage you to reach out to Barbara Dyson Ford Lincoln. They can find you what you're looking for. I think I covered it all, sir. Would you please pray to start us out?
Let's pray and ask God's blessing over this time. Father God, we love you today, and Lord, as we come into this place together, we just take a deep breath, Lord, right now. We just calm our own hearts and our spirits, and Lord, we take just a minute to be in your presence. We know, Lord, that you are the source for this. You are the strength with this. You're the power behind this. This is an incredible moment in time, Lord, and this it goes out on the airways everywhere, all around the world, at a high rate of speed. And so, Lord, we do not take it lightly with what you do. So with every word that is spoken, may it penetrate into the hearts and the lives of the people. I pray today, God, that you would open our ears, that we may hear what you are saying to us. You would open our minds so that we may comprehend what you're saying to us. And Lord, that you'll open our hearts so that we can retain all that you're saying to us. We'll give you the glory, the praise, and all things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title. What armor?
You know, we oftentimes talk about the armor of God and the way it is. And I recently even discovered a passage in the Old Testament that I was going to allude to maybe a little bit later on. I'll go back to it. But there's the king in Israel. I want to start today with just telling the story. The king of Israel was doing the best that he could to hold Israel together and hold everybody in camp. And he was just keeping them on track with God. He was doing the best that he could. But yet Israel was still, they were just being fussy and wanting to be their own selves, and they wanted to serve their own idols and follow after their own gods. But this one king, he was a high king, and he kept pulling them back and saying, come on, guys, stand your ground, stay put where you are. Well, the word got out to another kingdom and another king, and that second king was very boisterous, and he was very bold, and he was actually very mean. And he sent a messenger into the good king, king of Israel, and he said to him, listen, you're worthless, you are powerless, you are weak, there's nothing you can do about it. I am going to come in, and I am going to raid your kingdom, and I'm going to take whatever I want. And the king of Israel at that time, he said, you know, we don't want to fight, we don't want to battle, so you take what you want. What is it that you want? And the bad king said, we're going to take all your women and all your children. And the good king said, take them. We'll start over again. We'll find more. Go ahead, take them. You can have them as slaves. Take them. And the bad king said, wow, that was easy. We told you that you were weak. Tell you what we're going to do now. We're just going to send my servants over there to you, our messengers to you, and they're going to take everything that you take pleasure in. We're going to take all your material, all your gold, all your silver, and all your wives and all your kids. And the king of Israel said, I've had enough. And he stood up and he said, you know, there's a saying among us that I'm going to tell you. And he told the bad king, he said, let the man who puts on his armor not boast like the one that takes his armor off. Now, that's just one little phrase in the Old Testament. And in our terminology, what it really means is that just because you dress for the battle, you don't have bragging rights until after the battle. You've got your armor on, but you've not won the battle yet. There's no place to boast just because you put the armor on. And so I like that saying, and I don't know how to put it any other way. Don't let the one who just puts his armor on boast like the one who gets to take it off. The one who takes his own armor off, the one who says, I have fought this battle, I have won the battle, I am victorious, I've got this, I won. Then he takes his own armor off and lays it over in the corner, and he waits for another day of battle. So the one that puts it on, he doesn't get to brag or boast like the one who gets to take it off. So this morning I asked the question, what armor? What armor are you wearing? What armor do you have on? Whose armor have you put on? And in our mind today, there are several different types. But I want to go to Ephesians chapter 6. Most of you that are Bible scholars and you study the Bible, the minute you say armor of God, you go, yeah, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. I want to look at what the armor of God is and then try to compare that for just a little while with the armor that we try to put on ourselves. And I ask the question, what armor? What armor are you wearing? What armor have you put on? What armor is defending you? What armor are you going to be wearing at the end of the battle? Are you going to take your own armor off? Somebody else going to take it off for you. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to begin at verse number 10. And I'm going to read through quite a bit. And I'm going to take it verse by verse today. I'm just going to really stay right here. Don't know if I'm going to go into another passage or not, but so you can look at this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. This is Paul writing to the Ephesian church, who was really having some conflict and some battles. They were losing the spiritual battle. They would make a couple of steps forward, and they would say they love God, and they would create a place of worship, and they would clean out the temple. And then just 6 weeks later, they'd fall right back into adultery. They would fall right back into idolatry. They would fall right back into a lot of anger and frustration. And Paul was saying, you're continually being deceived. You're continually being tricked. You're continually falling back to the sin. You're never getting over your sin. You know what your sin is, and that sin has a stronger pull on you than the worship of God. And so Paul says, let me approach it in a manner that I really believe you're going to understand. To the Ephesian church, you guys understand battle. You understand war. You have very many warriors. The Ephesian church sat right outside of a, I don't know how to put it, in today it would be right outside a military base, all right? So they had a military base for the kingdom that sat right outside the Ephesian church, and they understood battle. They watched these Roman soldiers go out every day, and they'd be fully armed, and they're going out to protect another city. So they understood exactly what he was talking about. So Paul says to them, he says, finally, my brethren, he says, all right, I've tried to discuss this all the way around. You're not getting it. He says, be strong in the Lord. Not your own mind, not your own way, not your own opinion, not your traditions. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. But that was so hard for the Ephesians to do, because they're like, but we don't see the Lord and we don't know what might you're talking about. But let me go on. I'll read just another one. I'll come back to this. Verse 11, he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It's funny, that word wiles is translated in so many different things. Against the deceptions of the devil. The devil really makes you think that you got this, you're under control, it's not hurting anybody, it's just my decision, it's just what I want to do. Well, if you're doing that, then you're putting your own armor on and not the armor of God. The wiles of the devil. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Wow. Those are four things that I'm going to talk to you about in just a minute. Verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. I'll stop right there. That's all the way through 18. And this is just incredible with what it's going. The next little segment talks about something that I don't want to get into today in that part of the theology. I'm just going to stay right here, because what I want to talk to you is about Paul saying to them, put on the whole armor of God. If he gave the instructions that we have to put on the whole armor of God, then there is an indication that they've put on the armor of something else. They put on the armor of some other means. When we look at what's going on here with Paul today, the first question that I ask, you know, what armor? Is it a self-made armor? Is it an armor that you put on yourself? In verse number 10, he said, be strong in the Lord. There's so many people today that are strong in their own mindset. They're strong in their own wisdom, their own knowledge. So many people today depend on their own talents or their own treasures to get by with God. They think that they can pay their way through. They think that they can talk their way through, and they can't. You're not going to pay your way into heaven. You're not going to talk your way into heaven. There is only one way to the Father, and that's through his Son, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. If you're going to put on a full armor of God, well, you got to have on the armor of the Lord. You got to take the Lord and be strong in the Lord. When he mentions be strong in the Lord, he's not talking about a physical might of the Lord. He's talking about a wisdom or a knowledge of the Lord. How do you really get strong in the Lord? Well, if you put on your own armor, this is one of the problems, how you know that it's a self-made armor, is because you think that you know everything about the Bible that you need to know, or you think that you know everything about the Lord that you need to know, or you think you know everything about salvation that you need to know. Sorry for the head rock. I just get this little sarcastic attitude going there, because that's what so many people fall into. Well, I think I know enough. I think I know this. I think I know that. You know, I heard one young man say to me one time, he said, believe me, I know everything about the Bible. My papa has preached it to me for years. And I'm like, but you're not living it. So apparently you don't know it, you know? And so people think that they understand or they know what the Bible says. And maybe they know 4 verses. Maybe they know 10. Maybe they know 25 verses by heart. But do they really know the Bible? Maybe they know what the Bible is. Maybe they know what church is. But do they really know the Bible? If you want to be really strong in the Lord, you need to know the Lord. I'm going to say this very quickly. It's really not balanced or based on your knowledge of Sunday school or sermon or which church or which denomination or what branch, or whether you know the books of the Bible or not the books of the Bible. To be strong in the Lord is having a personal one-on-one relationship with Jesus. That's what it is, and that's what it really bounds down to. When it says, and we're still in verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How do you get the power of his might? Now, Jesus, if you know anything about it at all, this is one of the things you learn in little church, little kids' church, Sunday school. This is what we teach our children in children's church, that Jesus is all-powerful. He's all-present. He's all-knowing. He is supreme in everything that he does. There's nothing that he cannot do. There's always, inevitably, one who'll pop up and say, well, then if he's so strong, can he make a rock so big that he can't move it? Impossible. Nope, can't do it. He can't. Why? Because he can move whatever he wants to move. He created all the atmosphere, everything about it. Which way do you think? If you think that you serve a God so powerful that he can make a rock so big that it can't move, you have a little impression of who God is. God is massive, and his son Jesus has all that power too. But that power in his might is when he can move things that aren't there, when he can do things that can't be done, when he can create things that have never been created. It's the power of his might that can change your life. When the battle comes on against you, and the battles of life will come against you, it will be in emotions, it will be in stress. When the battles of life come against you, whether it's with alcohol or drugs, when the battles of life come against you, and all of the things that deteriorate, the lack of self-interest or confidence, that's what I'm looking for. Without your confidence, without knowing who you are in the Lord, without knowing what you've got beside the Lord, then what you've done is you have made your own armor. You know, some people do this. This is the example that I come with off the top of my head today, is that so many people today, they put up a wall and they will not allow someone they love to come in and help them. They won't allow themselves to love again. Those are the two big examples. They set up a wall and they don't want to get close to anybody. They don't want to get interactive with anybody. They don't want to move with anybody. They don't want to do, because they've put up this shield, but it's a wall that's not protecting them, but it's a wall that's destroying them. Actually, what they've done is they put a self-made armor around them. It will not, cannot, it's not going to ever withstand the battle of life that's coming against you. It's simply going to hold you back. It's going to defeat you. It'll end up destroying you in the long run. If it's a self-made armor. Let me go to the next self-made armor. It's in verse 11. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This is, so many people today think that they can defeat the sin that's coming against them. This is a spiritual battle. Sin, I say this in my church all the time because I'm a pastor and I stand behind the pulpit and the church knows who I am. Sin is sin is sin is sin, and it will never enter into heaven. You're not going to live this life filled with actions and reactions that reject God, reject Jesus, reject his word, reject his way. And then you think you're going to stand in front of the Lord and say, I'm really sorry, I didn't mean to sin against you. He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Your eternity is going to be in the place created for the devil and the demons, which is called hell, which is the lake of fire. Simply put, you're going to live an eternity in death. But whereas if you learn now, I don't want to reject the Bible. I don't want to reject Jesus. I don't want to reject the truth. I want to serve him. I want to go after him. Then you have to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And the only way to stand against the wiles of the devil is to have an armor on that's made by God, not by self-made. If you think that you can persuade Jesus to love you after the fact, it's never going to happen. The greatest weapon of the devil today is deception. He is a liar and a father of all lies. There is no truth in him. He's a deceiver, and he will do everything he can to deceive you. He'll make you think that you're okay, you're fine, you're not hurting anybody. You've got your own armor on, your own protection. You think that you're doing it all yourself, and it will not stand in the last days. So I go to verse 12, and here it comes to the second part that I want to talk to you. It's not just a self-made armor. It's a society-made armor. And we'll go to verse 12 with that. But I know our time got started a little bit later, but I just want to ask real quickly here, do we need prayer at this time? Or
sure, we can go ahead.
Okay, this is a good time. This is a good time. We'll go to prayer.